We started on love and we haven't finished yet. There's so much to talk on love. Of course, there are many other areas too. But one of the reasons why we teach on love in this founding of this church here, because many of us who have been in Christianity long enough, or some of us who haven't been in Christianity and you have heard or come across Christians, one of the things that strike a lot of people is why Christians talk so much about love, but they don't show love. And why Christians, you know, emphasize almost every other thing under the sun. But the most important thing, that when you think about Jesus Christ, is the character of Jesus. Right? When we talk about Jesus to the world and people who have not heard about Him, what do they think about? Do they think, oh, he was a rich man? No? Do they think, oh, he was a powerful man? Yes, indeed, he was powerful. But there are a lot of other powerful men in history. So yes, he is an anointed man. Yes, that's part of it. But there were other anointed people in the Bible too. When we think about Jesus and we hear the name of Jesus, every person on the earth can't argue with the fact that he was a loving man. Of course, he was Son of God, Son of Man. And here we are called 2,000 years after Jesus Christ has come and gone, to build His work, His body. We are His body. We are His church. And I believe the most important thing in any Christian life is to learn about love. The love of God. And that is why for the continued series on the Love of God series this morning, we want to talk about the importance of love. Why is love important? It is very important. But we need some rational reasons as well that will motivate us to realize why love is so important. So let's look first at the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It says here, in 1 John chapter 4 verse 16, and we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. What a powerful phrase to even say that God is love. He's a very personification. Love is a very personification of love. When people ask, what's the presence of God like? Try to imagine what love is like in your life. Multiply it a million, billion, billion, trillion times. And that's what His presence is like. Unfortunately, many people who haven't really met God and known God, they give the impression that God is a frightening person. Of course, He's awesome. We don't argue with that. But His very presence is thick with love. Just this awesome love. And the closer you come to Him, the closer you would discern this love is stronger, greater than any love you could ever imagine. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how every type of human love, family love, is only a subset of what truly is the love of God. So the first reason, we give several reasons why love is the most important thing. Firstly, God is love, and the measurement of how much we are like God is love. Because if it says God is love, and we are told to be like Him, we were created in the image of God. our destiny is to be like God. I know our earthly destinies could be different things that God calls us to do. To be a professional person here, a ministry here, businessman here, or an artist there. These are earthly professions. In Romans 8, it tells us that we are all to be conformed ultimately. Our eternal destiny, what we are supposed to be like, is to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. And that's from Romans chapter 8. I read to you from verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we were all chosen to be like Christ, to be like God. There are thousands of Christian songs that talk about us wanting to be like him. But Christianity is not just in a song. It's more than that. And our God is truly love. He has shown his love by sending Jesus. Jesus has shown his love by giving his life to us. Why is love important? Because it is the only measurement by which we measure how much we are like him. We are measured not based on how much Bible knowledge you have, although Bible knowledge gives you the potential. You're measured not by how much time you spend with God, by prayer, in worship, or any area, although those things would put you in a potential position to receive more from him. We're not measured in any other area except by the character of love. We're not even measured based on how powerful we are, because no one can be omnipotent. All our power came from him, is delegated from him anyway. We are not measured based on our position or hierarchy with God in any form of Christianity or Christianity. The only measurement of how close we are with God and how much we have become like God is whether we have love, or what degree of love. See, there are degrees of love, and it is the only measurement system that is accepted by God. Let me read a few more scriptures from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at Matthew 5. Where we are told to be like God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. It says here, Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect. But then he didn't stop there. If he said just to be perfect, full stop, we all be stuck because we're all not perfect. But you are to be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. These are the words of Jesus. How to be perfect? We can't be perfect in power. We can't be perfect in knowledge. Because we're all still growing. Even you live 1,000 years on earth, you will still be growing in knowledge. So how can we be perfect? A clue is given to us, even in the context. See, the context was talking about love. See, the verse 48, what's the first word there? Therefore, it's a conclusion of a little topic that Jesus was talking about. And what was his context in verse 43 to 45 to 44, 45, 46, 47? It was about love. And he was talking about loving not even brethren, loving your enemies. People who are hard to love. People who are out to kill you. to do harm to you. Evil people. And he says, give out love to them. You see, that's a strange philosophy that Jesus has come. And that's why Christianity is different from every other religion. Because Christianity in Christ, see, the Old Testament to me is Judaism. Except through Judaism, we have with the revelation of Christ completed. But when Christ came, he shows us that the Old Testament was a shadow waiting for the real thing to come. And when the real come, he said, this is it. Why must we love our enemies? You have to look at it from God's perspective. The only way to eliminate evil is by love. We're not talking about the postponement of evil or the designation or removal of evil from one place to another. You still haven't got rid of it. It has to be eliminated completely because everything is God's. The whole universe is His creation. And, for example, here in your HDB apartments, you throw away your rubbish and your rubbish goes down the chute or your condominium or your whatever, your way they collect. And then the truck comes and take the rubbish. It has to take the rubbish somewhere. They have to find a way to put away the rubbish. Of course, nowadays they're trying to recycle, they reuse the rubbish. But in the end, most of the time, it ends up buried somewhere and covered up. But in God, there's no cover up. He sees everything. The only way to eliminate evil is by love. As I said before in some of my old illustrations, that if someone does evil to you, you know, in some of these Chinese movies, always revenge here, revenge there. You know, Western movies also, revenge here, revenge there. You know, you kill my family, now I come, and then all the family got killed except one tiny little fellow. And one whole generation later, that tiny fellow grow up, now he's out for revenge. And let's say he comes out and he kills this other guy. Let's say he succeeds, kills this other guy, movie ends. But story never ends. And the other guy, you know, might have some children. And so he might have little children. And your children say, I'm going to take revenge. And so, part two of the story comes. You know, one-armed swordsman two. Grows up, and then goes to the other family, kills the other guy. It's not going to end. When someone does evil and you do evil back, it doesn't work that way. More and more evil will propagate. Until someone decides to forgive and stop. Which is what Jesus came to eliminate evil. We have always said, when someone barks at you, no human beings don't bark. But just illustrate, let's say evil. They bark at you. Woof! Woof, woof! Took a lot of practice with my old pet, 10 years old. And it barks at you. Woof! I used to have this in Canberra when I lived there, a big, huge Malamute dog. 70 kilos. Could carry some of you. And so I got him as a puppy and watched him grow. And he's so big and he's one of those dogs, don't talk much. Of course, he doesn't talk. He seldom barked. I hardly heard a bark from him. And the few times he make noises when he howl. You know, not at the moon. Some of you read too many stories. So. He didn't howl at the moon. He howl when there's air balloons that come by. And he go, woo! And then he bark, he comes up, what's wrong? You know, this balloon moving in the sky, you know? You know, he's probably just saying, I don't like it, this is in my territory. Oh, super dog, my territory up there too. And so he seldom barks, and whenever he barks, James has met Mozart, that wonderful dog. And incidentally, that dog is more faithful than any of the church members I knew in Canberra. Early morning prayer, 6 a.m., he goes with me 5 days a week. And then after that, we go for a walk. And then all night prayer, Friday, we go there, and he goes with us. And then he lies down there and does his stuff. And then we finish in the morning at 6, then he goes. So he goes with us for all night prayer. And then on Sunday, he also asks to go, jump into the car. You know, takes him to church. And so in Canberra, you've gone to the church that we were there, the little church that we were helping. You'll find when you go to the church, the first thing is, there's a dog sitting there. Say, what's this dog for? You're just checking whether it's the devil or saint. Devil cannot get insane parts, right? And so he attends the prayer meetings, attends church, and the strangest thing, sometimes people come to a house of prayer, and one day this guy from Melbourne is in my house. He knelt down, he's being prayed for, and I lay hands on him, and this huge big fellow dog comes, looks around, see my hand there, and then he goes there, sat down and put his paw there. Not bad, huh? He had his doggy Mark 16, 17, 18, you know, lay paws on the sick. And so quite a clever little fellow. And so he doesn't bark. So whenever people come near, all he does is, and that's good enough. Nobody goes near. Just the size. And if you sit down and you look at him from behind, he looks actually like a polar bear. And he's that huge. And he's bigger than, at the moment, any one of you when he sits down. Right, he's huge. And so nobody dares to go near him by just one look at him. Good guard dog, but very friendly chap. And sometimes, one time we went for a camp and the dog was there. And he eats his diet, you know. He normally eats one chicken a day. For him, you know, for us, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. Say, one chicken a day keeps a dog, you know, the vet away. He eats a whole chicken. And what about the bones? Oh, he used it for chips. He eats a whole bone, crush the whole thing, a big powerful teeth. And so sometimes he could be here and he could be 10 meters away. And I gave him his chicken. And his eye is just looking at the chicken. If you go within 1 meter of the chicken, you go, huh! And you have to step away. But when he growls and barks, he really knows his stuff and authority. So dogs growl, they bark. So when someone barks at you, ruff, ruff, and all kinds of dogs, ruff, ruff, and they do evil, they say evil, talk evil, they either use words against you, whatever, or actions against you, these are all the evil. And then you don't show love, you react, repay evil with evil. So they go, ruff, you go, ruff, and then they go, ruff, ruff, you go, ruff. And in the end, you drive the other guy away. We run away. You have just become a bigger dog. Because you behave like a dog to drive the dog. You became evil to do evil to overcome evil. When will evil be eliminated? Never. Which is why the only way to overcome evil is by love. Stops there. Stops evil on the track. And 99.9999. Yes, I may enter 0.00001. Okay. Of church problems are problems because there's a lack of love. There's a lack of love. If people have love, they could see beyond their differences. I mean, churches will have different styles and different slight understanding of things. And different areas, and if there's love, a lot of those problems would have gone. They say, Pastor, why don't you say 100%? Cannot, you must leave a small percentage that really is the devil by giving a very small percentage. And then you deal with the devil. But in general, love is the key. The context of being perfect, like God, is the context of being perfect in love. You can cross-reference that to Luke chapter 6 and you find that and he's talking about be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Same context about walking in love. So the only measurement of how much a person is like God is how much love you have. That's why love is important. That's the only measurement. Doesn't matter where you are in society, how rich or how poor, or what kind of titles you have after your name and before your name. It doesn't matter what kind of position you have in the church. It doesn't matter what kind of Bible knowledge you have, or how much time you spend in prayer. Can tell you sometimes people read the Bible so much they don't have love, because they didn't apply to the Bible. You say, wow, you're such a person. It's in your Bible. Who are they? They were called the Pharisees. Of course, they were the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These are the people who knew the Bible. They were called lawyers in the Bible because they knew the word. They copied, they were the scribes. You know what a scribe? Full-time copying Bible. They should know the Bible very well. And they had no love. They were the ones who were the biggest hindrance to Jesus. And I think the greatest sin of the church of Jesus Christ is a lack of love. And how far we are, 2,000 years in Christianity, from our true Lord Jesus Christ. Tell you, if Jesus Christ comes today in the flesh and manifests, he wouldn't recognize his church. Say, that's not like me. And then we argue, you know, Jesus comes and sit on our board meeting. Jesus comes and sit on the board of churches everywhere, on Christian organizations, and the decisions we make. Jesus will say, I wouldn't do that. He say, shh, Jesus, this is our territory. Isn't Jesus our Lord? Aren't we doing everything we do because of Him? Based on Him? See, we are so far from following our Master and Lord. Shame on us. We all need to repent and realize that Jesus symbolizes, personifies love, and it is the only measurement of whether we are perfect like God. That's why it's very important. The measurement of how much we are like God. Number two, why is love important? It's related to number one. Loving another person. Love has to be action. Love is not something you say or something you believe in. Love is also something that we do. Love has an action. If God just says He loves us and don't take action, it's very hard for people to believe that God loves us. But God shows His love. The Bible did say, John 3:16, which we all know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's an action in love. Love needs an object of love. Love needs to be shown. It says in Romans, God demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet sinners. So there's a demonstration of love. Why is love important? Because number one, is the only measurement system for spiritual progress here on earth. And for spiritual progress in the rest of eternity. we better learn to use God's measurement stick. It is the only measurement for all of being like God. When we put away this body and we live with God eternally, there's still progression from glory to glory. The only measurement from one level of heaven to another level, one level of glory to another level of glory, the only measurement for promotion is how much love you have. I'm still on point one. I want to get to two, but couldn't. Holy Spirit say, emphasize point one again. Yes, Lord. Love. Because some of you are asking, why? Everything, why? Let me give you, there are thousands of reasons. Let me give you why. The higher you grow to God, the higher you grow, you actually have more authority, more knowledge. You do know more things. Can you imagine if a person become more powerful, a person become more knowledgeable, a person become more wealthy, but without love, you know what will become? A very cruel person. Because if I have power and no love, I will become so powerful to destroy those I don't like. If I have knowledge and I know everything, and my knowledge grows as I progress, but I don't have love, I might use my knowledge wrongly. I will actually become a more powerful destroyer. Can you see that? And that is why, in the kingdom of Jesus, the greatest among you must be the servant of all. The greatest among us is not one who has more education, although education is good, encourage your children to go into that. The greatest among us is not just, you know, the Bible knowledge alone, because Bible knowledge is good. The greatest among us is one who is willing to lay down their life to love another, because they were arguing, oh, I want to be a right hand of Jesus, they want a left hand of Jesus. And Jesus, I mean, he was putting up with his disciples on his last journey some more. As he was going forth to the cross, he revealed to them what he wants to do. He revealed he was the Christ. They have confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16. Between then and his last trip to Jerusalem, and remember, those journeys take a long time. So when they travel for hours. So somehow the disciples got the wrong impression of Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. But the impression is the worldly Messiah. Oh, he's gonna be king. And all along the journey there, the disciples were arguing, oh, I will be sitting on the right side. No, me. You know, there's only one place on the right side. And they're arguing, who will be next to him? Who will be first? And Jesus, all along the journey, heard this bunch of fellows talking. You don't think Jesus didn't know? He must have overheard. He didn't even need to overhear. He knows. And then he reached a place, he got a little child. Say, whoever wants to be greatest among you must be like his little child. And he says, the greatest among you shall be the servant of all. Do not be like the Gentiles. Say, do not be like the Gentiles. Why is love important? Why is love the measurement system of God's hierarchy and promotion and glory? Because if any other system would not have protected those under them, God is a good God. See, it cannot promote based on power. But look at the world. The world's promotion system is based on the most talented, the most knowledge, the most powerful, the most wealthy. See, all our system, and we don't talk about love. As a result, sometimes, you know, generally people might see a good character. Now, character plays a role too. We do look for good character. But occasionally, the world makes a mistake. And they put a Hitler in charge. When it becomes destructive. 6 million Jews, don't know how many other millions of people get destroyed. Say, why give such a person so much power when they don't have love? The world makes mistakes. In God's kingdom, promotion is based on your capacity to love. Perfection is measured in God. How much like God you are is by love. So God is wise. Because with every promotion, you become more powerful in spiritual authority. And you will not misuse it. Do you think when the devil told Jesus, turn these stones into bread, you think he didn't have the power? He had. But he had so much love for the Father, and so much love in him, he will not do anything that has no relation to any demonstration of love. It would be just pride. So there is a purpose. We find why the number one important reason why love is important. Why the importance of love? It is a measurement of the heavenly system of promotion on earth here and in heaven. So let's learn that system while on earth. Number two, and we were getting to, is that, let's look at the book of, when you read John 3:16, you have to look at 1 John 3:16. See, John 3:16 has its outgrowth into 1 John 3:16, which says, but we know love. By this, we know love. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Reason number two, why love is important. The only way to grow in love is by loving another person. That's a strange rule that God put in. But a strange law, interesting law. It is the heavenly measurement of growth. And it is the only method by which we can actually grow. It is not just a measuring system. It is the method by which you actually can grow too. You need to bring forth love in order to have love. In heaven, how does a person grow from one level of glory to another? I know it's grown by love, but how do they grow? What must they do? You know, they don't sit in a classroom to learn about love. Love is not learned in a classroom. You learn about love in a classroom. Love is not learned in a seminar. We learn about love in a seminar. Love is actually learned when you actually love and work out that love. So the heavenly system is this. When we all get to heaven, we will find this to be true. Been there, the Lord gave me the grace to watch and see some things going on in heaven, in the visions of heaven. Every single person in heaven has to take care and love somebody else. You cannot go to heaven and say, God, give me a corner somewhere and I absorb all the knowledge and wisdom and grow. Doesn't work. That's why love is important. Understanding the importance of this love. Because in point two, the only way to grow upwards is to grow sideways towards somebody. First John has a lot of that. How can you say you love God if you don't love your fellow brother, your fellow man? See, it relates the two as an equation. You can't grow to know God until you grow the other direction. You can't grow horizontally unless you can't grow vertically unless you grow horizontally. Both are related. You say, how can you say that you love God when you can't love those around you whom you can see? It's in the Bible in 1 John. Many of you are familiar with the passage. Why is love important? Because it is the key, the very key in our lives to promotion and growth, to increase it in our life. We have to act it out. These are all within point number two. So the heavenly system is that whatever level that you grow into in heaven, in the spiritual heavens above, every one of us is assigned and taken care. Imagine in heaven, you have at least one, you can have many guardians, but you have one main angel taking care of you, or one spiritual saint watching over you, taking over you, or your guide. But you yourself are responsible for one person. At least one. Sometimes some of them are responsible for more than one. But minimum is one. No one in heaven is allowed to live their own lives. Some people think Christianity, we got a ticket to heaven, you know. And then you go to heaven, you want to do your own thing. You say, what do you want to be in heaven? You know, I'd like to be a doctor. Sorry, nobody is sick here. What else would you like to be? I'd like to be, a butcher. Sorry, all the animals cannot be killed here. What else? There are a lot of professions, no more. I'd like to be real estate. Sorry, all the houses here free. So, if you think about it, a lot of our professions go there. We are professionless. All our training, our life works of 50 years, 70 years, you go up. No use. No. There are other things that you will learn, which is important to be faithful to your profession or whatever gift or talent you have. But just to illustrate that, a lot of the things of this life, when you go up there, you can't. Everything is so different. So what would you like to be? Tourist guide. And the angel said, not a bad choice. There's a lot of places to go. Right, anyway. So those of you in tourism, I'm sure you feel a bit happy, right? So, there are many worlds to visit, right? So, when you go to heaven, and you want to grow in heaven, you say, I want to grow, but I don't want to take care of anybody. Do you know this is heaven? Yeah. Here everybody takes care of somebody. The only place where nobody takes care of nobody. You're talking about another place. Start with H also, but different ending. Different ending. Wrong place. So, you mean got to take care of somebody? Yes. And this is a strange thing. The only way for you to grow upwards is to grow sideways. Somebody will be assigned to you in heaven. So I'm preparing you all for heaven. Somebody will be assigned to heaven. So some of you say, but I'm so small spiritually, I don't know whether I really qualify to be near the throne of God. All I want is some grass mansion at the corner of paradise, right near the edge. And I don't have to take care of anybody. And I promise to spend the rest of my days in my grass mansion, studying the Bible, reading about Jesus, learning how to pray to grow. Unfortunately, that's not possible. Because in heaven, you have to find someone to love. But no, God don't let you pick and choose. Too dangerous. You know? Because you will be saying, oh, let me see who to love. I love to, maybe I choose that one. And you will choose wrongly. And you can't help the other person. It's assigned to you. God already has His assignment system. Isn't it wonderful? If you see heaven's follow-up system, it's so powerful. It's so powerful that every single person is taken care by somebody else, and they themselves are taking care of somebody else. That's heaven's system. And sometimes some people take care of more than one. But in heaven, the only way to progress upwards is to care for somebody. That's point number two. Why is love important? It is the only way by which you can actually grow and progress. It is the method by which you will progress. Not just the concept of love, the action of love. And God is smart too. I mean, in heaven, I saw some people progressing. And then some people, they learn these truths. And they know that, oh yeah, some of you are very smart. I think Singaporeans are very smart people. Very clever. Right? And smart in many ways. And you know how to get the best with the least cost. And you know where to find the best foods. And a lot of things, very smart. Singaporeans are very, very smart. And so some people in the spiritual realm, they understand this, they say, oh, in order to grow there, I must help here. So you know their attitude in helping? Yeah, like, help, oh, finish. Promotion? No. The whole attitude was wrong. So that it was not really helping. It was helping to get something else. Also wrong, because why? Not really genuine. You know, nowadays, sometimes when people do charity, to a certain extent, they love to do charity. And when they love to do charity, it is not just the charity people are interested in. It is the publicity. So sometimes you wonder, you know, when people give charity, you know, I'm not running it down. I mean, thank God they do something. But I'm saying, really, Jesus says in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, that if you do charity, yeah, excuse me, this guy, getting warm here. Yeah. So when you do charity, gotta cool down here, right? His love is burning me up. Right. It helps me just to cool down. And when people do charity, it is, it's good. But in Jesus say, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. And so when that takes place, you know how sometimes when people do all the charity and then, you know, got $10,000 or $100,000 they give, you know, and then somebody will come, wow, the check, you know the size of the check, wow, big. Need 2 persons to carry. Well, here's a $10,000 check. And and everybody take pictures. Snap. All the greeting, you know. Here's a $10,000 check. Now, wow, the check is so big, you know, you can't even go put it in the bank counter. You cannot go through. Right. Of course, we know those are all symbols and dummy checks. But here's the thing. Why want to make such a big check? The only reason is for people to see, right? So make sure the numbers are in bold. Big print. So they got their publicity. I mean, if they want to do that, keep doing that by all means. I mean, I don't want to rob all the charities, all the donations. But through charity, you do it not for anybody to see. Not for anybody to know. But you do it because you really just love those people that you're helping and that you're working at. That's all you want to do. That's true charity. And there is, in science, I used to read a lot of science. they found out that monkeys can be very creative. Yes. Monkeys have their own creativity. And so the scientists have this, group of monkeys. And it's in one of the Discovery magazine long ago. Discover magazine. And so they would give these monkeys, and the monkeys would play with the paint. And so the monkeys do quite nice painting. Then they reward the monkey with bananas or peanuts, whatever. And actually, monkeys prefer peanuts or banana. In case, just in case you all don't know, right? You know, they, oh, monkey, banana. Monkey, not interested. Goreng pisang, maybe. But, you know, they prefer peanuts. And so, this, and then they start rewarding the monkey. Every time the monkey finish, they pay in peanuts. That's really paying the monkey in peanuts. And so, my wife used to say, you know, no, when you pay peanuts, you get monkey business. So, they really pay in peanuts. And these monkeys are smart. They've discovered something. That the monkeys found out that the painting equals peanuts. So you know what the monkeys do? They just boom, 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 and then peanuts. They are very smart. And the scientists say the quality of their artistry deteriorated. They are no more doing it because they enjoy playing with the paint. They are doing it now for peanuts. Their eye is not on the playing with the paint. Their eye is peanuts. So the faster they finish, the more peanuts. So if 1 hour finish, 10 peanuts. If 1 hour finish one peanut. Smart. They can count. And so they found that happen. Now, those are monkeys. To a certain extent, you notice human beings. When their goal is not just art, their goal is something else produced by the art can deteriorate. But of course, you've got good people who understand, who takes a pleasure in and pride in their work. Then it's different. Because they want the work to symbolize those things. That's why in heaven, when people want to do things and creative things, you're not doing it for pain or pay. You're doing it because of love. And you're creating something that represents you. There's a lot of effort in that. Quality is different. And of course, in life, you want a balance of that. I don't mean, you know, some of you, you know, that you're so artistic, you know, and your livelihood is art. And it takes you a long time to paint one picture. How much is one picture worth? $1,000. So, if you produce one picture in 1 year, 1 year only $1,000, you know. So, you know, there is in this world, I understand there's a balance between livelihood and that. But if you really want to do good artistry, some artists do this. They work in other different jobs just to take care of their earning money thing and their food, clothing, shelter. Then when they do their art, they really give their time. Because somehow, when we connect the two between payment and actually doing something artistic and creative, we lose something. We lose something. Unless the motive was just to be creative and bring forth the art. In the same way, love is not love when you do it for anything else. But love. And so when you help someone because there's another motive, that's not love. When you get close to someone because there's another motive, that's not love. When you link up with someone because of what you can gain, that's not love. True love is you really care for the individual And of course, the best is we start with your spouses and your family and those around you. You care for them. You love them because you really want to help them. And you know, in the spiritual world, the fastest people to progress are those who forgot about wanting to be promoted. Forgot about earning merits with God or being more transformed. And they just really took care of others and love others and help them in every way for the love of helping them. These people progress very fast. And it's important for us to realize that, like, the object of love is love. It's just to bring forth the nature of God in our life. What does God gain by loving? See, He gained us. He created us. God is love. The nature is to love. And so, why is love important? The importance of love. Why is love important? Because number two, it is the method by which we are transformed, the method by which we grow. Number one is the measurement system in heaven. Number two is the very method of transformation that we need. And then after being in the spiritual world for 6 to 7 weeks and seeing all those things, and I come down and I realize, wow, I don't think we can really create a follow-up system like they do in heaven. Because they know so much and they could do so much. But I bring it forth to you that growing spiritually, growing in love and growing to know God, you will never grow just by attending church. You will never grow just by attending seminars. You don't really grow. You only grow in knowledge and about those things. The real growth is if you find someone. If you're single, find someone, you know, preferably one of the same sex, to take care. If you're married, love your spouse by all means, but also learn, extend that love to others. Some people are not even faithful loving their own spouse. Or love your family, your brothers and sisters. But even family sometimes don't take care of each other. And they take care of obligation. And sometimes they're doing it because of practicality. I know husbands and wives who don't love one another anymore and they maintain a facade because it is a practical thing for them. Because everything will come crumbling down if they don't maintain that. Maybe they maintain it for professional, for business. That's not good enough. Point number two is this. The only way to grow is to love someone. Of course, you should love your spouse. But as you love your spouse, you learn to love someone. It's a challenge to love someone outside your family too. Because you didn't love because of flesh and blood or relationship. You love because you purely want to love. And so the question we ask in our Christian life is this. Are you taking care of anyone? Are you caring for someone? If your answer is, oh, caring? It's my wife, my two kids, my cat, my dog, and there's a little mouse that lives nearby. Not good enough. We need to care. And I realize some of you have been given opportunities. I know some of you are in situations perhaps in your family or situation, it requires extensive care. That's why sometimes you can admire people who, you know, due to what I call circumstances beyond anyone's control, where you're caring for someone who is in a certain physical handicaps or mental areas, it is a growth for you. It's God's part of the growth process. And there is that caring. Who are we caring for? Who do we take care of? And by love, I don't mean that once in a while you visit or you give a phone call, you know, and say, oh, are you all right now? The person, of course, will say, all right. How many people you phone? Are you all right? Say, no, I'm not all right. You know, okay, then I have loved you already, okay? I just want to phone you and say, I love you, okay? I got one more married up there. Bye. No. God so loved the world, He gave. He gave Himself. 1 John 3:16. No greater love has anyone shed than they love. And there's no profit in that. Not looking for profit. You're loving because it's the nature that you want to grow in love. Not your own love. God's love in you. We love because He first loved us. And that's why number two, teaching is important. We need to love people. You need to find people to love. And God chooses them for you. Oh yeah, we choose the easy one. Oh, I love this baby, and I like to take care of this baby, you know, just and do all the baby things. And no, God knows what we need and which area of love we develop. And so sometimes the very person you complain about is the very person God sent across your path to love. And then, you know, you might fight like cat and dogs. You know. So one of you, you know, you use the tiger claw. The person used the eagle claw. Right? And you fight like eagles and tigers, you know, instead of crouching dragon, hidden tiger, or whatever. And, you know, so both whatever, and you fight. And whatever things, and you find it so hard to love that person. And this is a message. The very people that you find hard to love is the exact place that tells you where your love is lacking. It's the exact spot. God is smart. And the more you grow in love, the more He finds situations where you need to grow in love. Because, you know, you have your charmy fellows, you know, and who grows around you, who are your buddies, you know, and you say, oh, he's a jolly good fellow, he's a jolly good, easy to love, you know. But you grow maximum, let's say you really learn to grow and you have all those things, then you thought, wow, very settled, I'm growing in love, you know, I love these people, they love me, I love you, God, you know. Then you reach a certain maximum, God says, God looks down from heaven and says, I think you need to grow a little bit more love. And then He sends someone called, you know, JC to you. And you thought, JC, what, Jesus Christ? No, Judas Iscariot. And you say, what is this person here? Well, how can I love, you know? And then, oh, this person just rubbed you the wrong way. You know, just one look, oh, gives you a headache. You know, go for prayer. And really rubs you all the wrong way. And then you go to God, oh God, you know, please take this away from me. You know, take this cross away from me. You know, and the only answer God gave is, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. And so in the end you accept it. You say, okay, it's, you know, and then you try to be like Jesus. If it be possible, let this cup be taken from me. And so in the end, you got to acknowledge, yes, it is His will. You accept. And the day you learn to overcome love, and you recognize, and you could love, and the strong always bear the weak. So, and you got greater love. You see, the difference between two persons, when they fight like cat and dogs, fight like eagle and tiger claw, right? In the end, remember, if both are fighting, whoever wins become a bigger fighter, not a bigger lover. God doesn't want to make anyone else a bigger fighter. What for? You know, go for your crouching dragon, hidden tiger, or whatever outside. But in the church, you know, It's all hidden sheep, you know, and a peaceful lion. Whatever. And so we come, and in the end, as you confront, you decide. Love is a decision. You decide to keep love. I can tell you, if you hear heaven, all your angels say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because you know why? Promotion! You say, what? Promotion? Yeah. Some of us don't realize. You know, you've been praying, you thought your promotion come for 40-day fast. And then, sometimes your 40-day fast, why? You got more irritated. You say, why am I more irritated? Because your 40-day fast was stretching your love. You know, you just like, you know, God give me more love, give it now, you know. And then God sends someone when you need to show love, you find it hard. In heaven, when you make that decision to grow higher in love, you determine with all your being, yes, I will walk in love. It's painful because while I'm praying to you, this person's sword is now half piercing my belly. Say, God, I still love you. And you make a condition to love. And you turn and say, I love you. You say, and you think you're the hero. No, you're not the hero. Jesus was a hero. He did it first. And you did it because of him. Isn't that what they do with Jesus? And when they nail him, you know, I don't think when they nail Jesus, that Jesus ever say, I'm going to come back and take revenge on you. And then he turned to the other soldier kneeling his hand. And you too, watch out. What's your name? Huh? Bartimaeus. Okay, you watch out, Bartimaeus. Coming back for you. No, it would have been dangerous. When they nailed Jesus on the cross, he could say, I love you. Yeah, I love you. And Jesus was hanging on the cross. Those funny fellas, these evil people were hanging down on the cross, looking up and say, if you are the Son of God, come down. Ha, 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 ha. And Jesus looked at this fellow and say, I love you. You know, Jesus didn't look around and say, you with dear, come back with my glory. The only response he got came out was love. And so we find that whenever you find it hard to love someone, is you have reached your limit. Go to God and get more love. And bring forth more love, and all the angels will be harmonizing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Why? Because you got promotion. We all get promoted every time. And some of us thought, you know, the glory of God is going to come, you know, and we get promoted. It is these little things like that. Because the measuring system of our world and the measuring system of God is different. And as you begin to love this person, and you have loved this, come to another level of love, God is wise. He continues to extend and extend. And so, the greater you grow in love, the greater love you have for somebody else. And this is the true thing. If you find it hard to love one person, the same difficulty you have with that one person is subconsciously repeated in every other relationship you have with every other person. It comes out. If you succeed and make a breakthrough in loving that person, whether it be, you know, in some areas between you, husbands and wives, or spouses, or brothers or sisters, or relationship with your mates, or whatever, or your friend, if you succeed in having a greater love for one more difficult person, that same success will be spread across every other relationship. So you gain something as you relate to all the others. Because we are measured one at a time. We grow in love one person at a time. You cannot generally say, you know, oh, you know, I love Africa. Oh, no, I love India. Oh, no, from a distance. No. It's when you pick up one child and a hurt child and all the inconvenience of love and pay the price of love, and it costs you time and money and everything to show love, and you succeed, you have gained something more valuable than money. That's the second importance of love. Number one is the measuring system in heaven. Number two is a very methodology by which we are transformed and changed. Finally, it is the yardstick for every gift and ministry in its ability to be effective. We find that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And just before 13, there is also some phrases that he put in chapter 12. We see here in 1 Corinthians, which is, 1 Corinthians 12 is the gift passage, where he talks about gifts. And then we see here, that at the end of all the talking about all the gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, gifts of healings and tongues, the interpretation of tongues and prophecy, and all the other different giftings he mentioned, right at the end of chapter 12, verse 31, he says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts." And yet, he says, "I show you a more excellent way." He says, desire the best gifts. The best. See, what's he talking about? He's talking about desiring the best in which it will flow in your situation. And he says, "I show you a more excellent way." And then he turns around in chapter 13 and talks about love. And it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." See, all the gifts, everything became nothing. Why is love important? Tell me. Because without love, the apostle is useless. The prophet is useless. The evangelist is useless. The pastor is useless. The teacher is useless. All the gifts of spirit are useless. Of no effect. Now, why would you want to do something that have no results in heaven and no real good results here? Why should we waste our time? Correct. Why do we want to do church work? Why do we want to do all the wonderful ministry that we should do? Why? If there is no love. Love is the only criteria in which the ministry office and the ministry gifts are considered successful in heaven. The word there is nothing, zero, zip. And look at how powerful these gifts are, he mentioned. You could have the gift of tongues, and not only of tongues of men, he said, you can talk in tongues of the angels, and still nothing. You could even have the faith to move mountains. Mountains. It's nothing. You could have the gift of prophecy. You understand mysteries about God, about people, about things. It's nothing without love. Yet, in much of the Christian world, people are still going after all those things without love. Because it's a temporal thing. We have become so carnal. Why would we want all those things if there's no love? What is the worth of having billions of dollars, but no love? What is the worth of being the most powerful authority naturally on the earth and have no love? What's the use of being able to go to 100 nations, the best television program, or the best, you know, having the biggest church, or the biggest this, or the biggest that, have no love? Tell me. Is it worth it to build the biggest church in the world and have no love? No, you know why? All your life's work is down the drain. We don't want to waste your time. And we should not waste our time if we do something without love. Or wasted. And that is why we believe that the foundation of any church and ministry is the love of God. If we have love, then there's meaning. It doesn't matter whether you're the biggest mega church in the world or you're the smallest fellowship in the world, because you have love. You have love. And love satisfies. It doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money or you have just sufficient money, because God will never make you in line. Because you have love. It doesn't matter whether you live in a big mansion